hearts and receive of the Lord. You know, it's a build up. We are building up. So you find that successive speakers are still, you know, repeating what others have already said. So this is what I'll be taking for the next 30 minutes. So lend me your attention even as we do so. Code of conduct. Code of conduct. Let's have the first slide, please. All right. So, what is code of conduct? What is code of conduct? So, as shown there, it is a formal set of rules, principles, and behavioral standards that guide the actions, decisions, interactions of people within an organization. Rules, principles, behaviors, standard guide of actions that determine decisions, interaction of people within an organization. So it translates an organization's core values into practical expectations to ensure a safe, respectful, and, you know, ethical environment. Someone said that vision is the destination. Values, they are the vehicle that, you know, takes you to the destination. Imagine you want to go to Abuja and you go to the garage and you are hearing Akwanga, Akwanga, and you go and enter. You're on your own. Hallelujah. The Lord will help us. So vision is the destination. Values are those vehicles that will take us to that destination. So if you have a vision of becoming the number one in your profession and your values are saying otherwise, you are just wasting your time. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's have the next point, please. So, in continuation, so this code of conduct outlines professional, respectful, and inclusive ways to treat co-workers, clients, and stakeholders. We are defining this code of conduct in a general sense of it before we cone down to our own, you know, organization, our own body here. This is the body of Christ. We are part of the whole body of Christ. Hallelujah. So the code of conduct outlines professional, respectful, and inclusive ways to treat co-workers, clients, and stakeholders. Let's have the next one. Okay, so what are the requirements? You know, we were discussing with Chooks one time that Vashti, they didn't try for her. In the sense that there was no law on ground that will punish that behavior. You understand? So it was after she acted and the counsel was made and punishment now came. Amen. Hallelujah. But in law, the judgment, I mean the punishment is put in place before even the offender. God told Adam, in the day that you eat of this fruit, this will happen to you. You understand? So it wasn't when he ate it and then they say, okay, you have eaten it. Like police, you just be moving and you won't see no parking. As soon as you park, you just see Agbero boys just enter your car. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are, you know, terms and conditions of people that probably maybe miss and go off. So prohibited actions. So it lists unacceptable conducts such as harassment, discrimination, and hate speech. It requires compliance. So it requires adherence to the local laws, the organizational regulations, and internal company policies. Then conflict of interest. So it explains how to handle situations where personal or financial interests might clash with professional duties. Let's have the next. So I'll go a little faster now. So we come down to our own code of conduct in TCRC. What's our code of conduct in the Christ Resurrection Chapel? If you look at our motto, what is our motto? Let me ask, we are all workers. Can we chorus it? What's our motto? Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. That's our motto for, you know, the church. So we are the light of the world, and we are the salt of the earth, and we are ambassadors of Christ. Light of the world, salt of the earth, and ambassadors. So our code of conduct will be revolving around these three main points. Let's have the next, please. So, salt of the earth. We may not be able to take the Bible verses, but we can review them. It was Jesus that said that ye are salt of the earth. What is the essence of salt? Salt preserves from decay. And salt also seasons. It, you know, gives taste. But Jesus made a finding that this salt can lose its saltiness. And when it does that, what happens to it? It becomes worthless, and men trample underfoot of it. That will not be our portion in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. He goes on to say that we are light of the world. Light of the world, which means, and there are other metaphors that was used, city on a hill. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. You light it and put it up. Why is this bulb not on the ground or maybe covered with something? It's because the light is expected to give is for people to use. So a light ought not to be hidden. It must shine. Hallelujah. A city set on a hill is not hidden. You can see it from afar off. Amen. So we are salt of the earth, and we are also light of the world. Let's go to the next. And we are also ambassadors of Christ. When you go to the embassy of the U.S., this power outage we are having, you will not find it there. You will not find it there. They replicate the environment of the United States in the area where the embassy is. And the ambassador of U.S. to Nigeria is like almost the president of the United States. When you have audience with him, it's almost as though you are talking to the presidents. We are ambassadors of Christ here on earth. We are from another kingdom. We are in this world, even though not of this world. So we must represent our kingdom 100%. One big thing or mistake that we usually do, if an ambassador cuts off communication with his home country, what happens? I went to Jaws for training. The people were happy with me. They said, I should just become their staff. Now I said, no, I'm sent here on an errand. If I complete, I'll go back to where they sent me. I'll not just, you know, start, you know, just say, okay, I'll send my resignation. No, that is not what it ought to be. So we must all have that consciousness of where we are coming from and represent where we came from. In all its verification. You understand? May the Lord help us. Amen. So let's move on. Let's move on. If you have concerns, if you have questions, let's just keep it. Our responsibilities. Responsibility. So our responsibility is a heavy one. It is a heavy one. And it is to discharge our duties to God and to His church effectively. To discharge our duties. So every worker is required to observe this code of conduct. So we are going to go down to the basic nitty-gritty. This is a background for us to know where we are coming from. The code of conduct to guide our own actions and to guide how we interact with one another. And we are salt of the earth and we are light of the world. Using the Lot scenario, if God was to destroy Kefi, and they say, okay, based on that proportion, I think Abraham stopped at, is it 10 people? Or is it 5 again? I can't remember. So 10 people. So 10 people for a community. And people estimated the population of Sodom then. And I think it should be about 10% or so. I can't remember the exact figure. So if God is to destroy Kefi today, and they said they are looking for 10 people to preserve Kefi, will they find us among these 10? Hallelujah. Thus, are we truly salt of the earth to preserve it from destruction? Amen. So, every worker is required to observe this conduct. Let's go to the next. So, what are these conducts now? What are these conducts? Submission to authority. Submission to authority. Submission to authority. I would love us to read some of the verses. Maybe let's have one of the verses. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. 1 Peter 5, 5. Submission to authorities. Now, some people, you know, were doing Bible study and concerns were raised about love. And some people will say there is no love in the church. How is it that I am not in church for 2 Sundays and nobody reached out to me? You are a member of a unit. We are not coming. You didn't inform your unit leader for 2 consecutive contacts. And then you now still blame your people that why haven't they called them? We too should start blaming you. Why haven't you called your leader? So anyone that is good that we reach out to, brethren, I'm not justifying the action, but it should be balanced. You that is going, I will not be around for 2 contacts. Reach out to your leader and say, bro, I have this. Please, I will not be around for this Sunday like that. Let's be in the know. Hallelujah. That's where the submission starts. So, 1 Peter 5, 5, it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisted the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. God resisted the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Amen. Submission. Let's go back to our slides. So we must submit. All of us are under authority. In our respective units or place of service. So submission. Totally submit to constituted authorities. So if we are traveling, we ought to inform our leaders that, look, I will not be around for this and this reason. And your department and unit head. And we must also be available to attend all meetings and go wherever we are sent. Joshua 1:16, it was after Joshua gave the command and then the people responded, we will do whatever you ask us to do. We will go wherever you send us to go. So long as it's within scriptural space, we must go where we are sent to and we must do what we have been asked to do. Hallelujah. Amen. So unit heads, take note. We should, as unit heads, we should be caring enough to take note of our members. And then as members too, we should also be responsible to reach out to our unit heads or any member of the unit. If you could not reach out to the unit head and mention that I would not be available for this and this reason. The next slide, please. So the place of submission to authorities. We must also obey orders. We must obey instructions. You know, if you are obeying, somebody said that we are relating with God. So your proof of love for God is what? Love your fellow man. Your proof of submission to God is your submission to your fellow man. I don't know whether I'm clear on that. Your proof that you are a submissive person to spiritual authority or to God himself is that you are submissive to constituted authority. Because those authorities, they are not, they don't just come from the blues. Leadership is set up by God. Sometimes I wonder, the king of Israel, some of them were, in fact, like Jeroboam, was one king that led Israel into idolatry. Yet, it was God that chose that king for them. It was God that constituted him. Even though it wasn't God that led him to do all that, but it was God that instituted him. So we must obey. Hallelujah. Amen. And then we must also what? Lead by examples. We are all leaders in our own spheres, in our own, you know, spaces of influence. It must be, do what I do. Jesus and the things that Jesus both began to what? Do and teach. As a leader, you say, be punctual, and then you come late. You know, some of these things, nobody may come and meet you, but is exerting influence on people that are coming after. Hallelujah. John Maxwell will say, everything rises and falls on leadership. Leadership is so powerful that Miles Morrow says, a flock of sheep led by a lion will defeat a group of lions? Pride. A pride of lions led by a sheep. Our sportsman Chooks will know that a group of talented players led by, let me say, the leadership of the coach is not, you know, as coherent. Another coach that may not have so much talent may defeat that team. So leadership is crucial. So we must lead by example. Hallelujah. And we also lead, that example entails sacrifice. Our president has mentioned here, we must be willing to sacrifice. The more responsibility you get, the less your rights, and the more sacrifice you ought to give. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go to the next. How many more minutes do I have? I don't know exactly when I started. 10 more minutes. Wow. All right. Okay. So, our hygiene, we must appear clean, and we must appear, when it comes to our dressing, we must be decent. What scriptures tells us about dressing, especially the priests, the sons of Aaron, that they should dress for what? Honor and glory. When you dress and you look yourself in the mirror, ask yourself, does this honor God? Does this bring glory to God? And if it doesn't, please, we can make amendments. So as workers, we ought to also comply in these regards. Amen. And then we've mentioned this point, give God the benefit of doubt. Where there is doubt, choose what honors God. Let me bring this analogy. You are in a place and there is a crisis, for example, and they are looking for believers. You understand? And they come to you. You have a few of them in your closet. They are looking for them. And they meet you and say, Chris, where are these and these people? You understand? You know, if you show them, you don't want to tell a lie. If you show them that, see them here, they will enter and kill them. What will you do? And telling lies is not good. What will you do? I would have taken some responses, but because of our time, there is a conflict of interest, when two ethical issues clash, the one of greater honor supersedes. In that instance, you may be quiet. In that instance, it's just like what Rahab did. And the spies were protected. Jesus was addressing something similar. That David ate of the bread of the temple. He was not a priest. And it was bread for priests. And even ate and gave to his men. What was he trying to say? Because the Pharisees then, they were paying tithes. They were doing this. It's good to pay tithes. But they were not addressing bigger stuffs like mercy, justice, forgiveness, and the rest. So when these two issues clash, the one of higher good should supersede. Amen. The Lord will help us. Let's go to the next. Hallelujah. So our spiritual life too. Our spiritual life. So our walking, our worshiping, and our growing in the spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Because a believer is one of the most complex creatures. God has not done away with everything. Despite you have given your life to Christ, the flesh is there. The remedy for the flesh is this: walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Holiness, we have tackled that in our sanctification. So enjoy the life of sanctification, both in public and in secret. Love one another. The whole commandment has been summed up into two: love God, love man. And we've been considering that in our Sunday school. And then be blameless. Be a worthy ambassador. In the qualifications that we saw, blameless is also there. Grow. Continue in the word. Jesus said in John 8:32, that if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. We must grow. Some of the issues we are having is because some are refusing to grow. You must not hold the water bottle or the soccer for too long. Amen. You should leave milk and graduate to solid meat. The next slide, as we begin to round up, our service and commitment, be punctual. The chaplain has hammered on it. Be punctual. Punctuality, it's honoring the person that you are coming to. If I book an appointment with you and you come 2 hours later, it shows the kind of honor you put on the person you are coming to meet. When service time is 7:30, we are meeting God. Angels are already here, even before then. And some of us may come 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and so on. Let's show reverence, honor to God by being punctual. And let our good works also show forth. Be ready always to do good works. To do good works. I was reading in our Bible journey, when Jesus was talking on, when I was sick, you visited me. When I was this, he didn't say, when I was sick, you came and gave me money. You visited me. Just visiting. Some of us will say, Kai, I have this person to go and see. I don't have money. What will I go and give? Jesus didn't say, when I was sick, you came and gave me money. When I was sick, you visited me. That's what is written there. So as basic as visiting, hallelujah, the Lord will help us. Protect the chapel. Now, I was in the theater yesterday, and they wrote some items the patient bought. And one of the attendants was saying, this pharmacy, what kind of pharmacy is that? They don't have a heart. They are heartless. Why would they write this kind of plenty things for the patient? Before the patient. So I took her aside. I said, look, you don't have to say all these things before the patient. Yes, things may not be going correctly as it should. But as employee of this facility, we must protect the image of this place. You should not be the person that will blackwash the facility. Tomorrow, people will say, if they bring you to FMC, it's dead sentence. It's because some of the staff here have propagated this kind of this thing. A member was saying one time that, you know, a visitor came and they were asking for his contact and the rest. The member whispered to the person, don't mind them, don't give them, they will not even call you. You understand? If we have issues or concerns, come and meet the people concerned. In fact, it's a reason why you should even join that unit. If you see that they are not calling the people, join the unit and make the call. Instead of, you know, spreading and tarnishing the image, we are all responsible for the image of Christ and the image of the church. So if you tarnish it, of what good are you doing? Hallelujah. May the Lord help us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So in conclusion, as TCRC workers, the last